Andy with another quarantine conversation in the age of COVID-19. Today I'm here with Jen Rock. She works in LA in the entertainment business. It is currently the end of April when we are recording this. And as of now, most of the people in Los Angeles in this business, the entertainment business, or in any business for that matter, hasn't worked for almost a month. So Jen, would you please say hello to everyone and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Hi guys, my name is Jen Rock. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I was an assistant editor in the entertainment industry, particularly marketing. So lots of movie trailers and promos and that kind of stuff. I was laid off on March 11th. Really right before, I want to say 1 or 2 days before everything kind of went downhill in the world and in Los Angeles. So it's been quite the ride ever since then.
Up until you were laid off, what were you working on?
I worked at a social media agency. And so we did all the social media for big studios like NBC and Netflix and CBS and Fox, Amazon, Hulu, you name it, we promoted it. And we were a pretty busy agency. I worked in the AV department, audio video department. So I organized footage, did some light editing, and organized projects and things like that.
What was one of the favorite things that you were doing at the time you were laid off? Were you involved in a project that you really enjoyed at that time?
Yeah. So towards the end there, I actually got to edit a little bit more. When I had first started, they wouldn't let me edit at all. And there's a lot of issues surrounding that. But to keep it short, at the end there, I got to edit a few pieces for an award submission for the Shorty Awards, actually, which is basically the Oscars for the marketing world. So I got to cut a couple videos for that, and that was really exciting. And yeah, I'm glad I got to do that at least. And then on March 11th, the head of AV came up to me and he was like, "Hey Jen, can I talk to you for a second?" And they pulled me into HR and I knew exactly what was going to happen. And they told me I was an excellent employee, but they just couldn't use me anymore. They had to phase out the assistant editor position and they gave me a month severance and I said my goodbyes and that was it.
Well, that day obviously was awful. I can only imagine that it's awful for anyone to go through that sort of thing. I've known you for quite some time and so we know each other from bowling of all things. We bowl in a league together. I know that you'd been kind of in and out of that industry for a few years.
Yeah, it's been on and off since 2011, because before 2011, I was a TV news producer. So I worked in broadcast TV right out of college, about 2 months out of college. I did that for about 3 years on the Central Coast, covering all the way from Carpinteria to the Monterey County line. And so we covered a wide area. I covered the Michael Jackson's death. I've covered Diablo Canyon, oil spills, and all kinds of really crazy things. The Central Coast isn't just a place for wine tasting. There's a lot going on up there. So it was a good first job. And then I missed LA so much. And I got an Emmy nomination just before I left. And I took off and got my first job with a commercial director. And that's when I really started getting into editing and doing a lot of assistant editor work.
Do you miss your days in the news business?
There's certain aspects of news that I miss that I've kind of had a taste of again since the quarantine, actually. So I really miss live TV. There's a certain adrenaline rush that a producer gets, and I'm sure everybody in the newsroom gets it as well, when a show goes on and you put a good show on air and it's a kick-ass show, and then afterwards you always have a post-mortem. It's just such a it can be a very daunting stressful process to the point where you feel like you're going to have a brain aneurysm. But when the show actually goes on air and I get to go back to the control room and get in everybody's ear and get the show on the road, that's literally the best part. You wait for that half an hour. I produce the 6 o'clock and the 11 o'clock news on a CBS and a Fox affiliate. So the station owned the two affiliates. So we got to actually run two newscasts, the same one basically, on different stations on the Central Coast. So it was great. But recently, I've been doing a lot of social media producing and content stuff for the Mermaid Bar in Los Angeles, and they've been putting on shows on Instagram Live, and we've had to kind of do the same thing where you make a rundown and you time out a show, and I know you've helped with some of that stuff, and we've had some really good ones. And so it was nice to get a taste of that again.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. The technical difficulties or the technical limitations are something I don't think anyone can expect. Like, you never know when the internet's just going to act very slow, or someone's technology who's not with you, because these shows have to be done ideally where the performer, the talent, is not with you. And they're not even in the next room. They're far away. So it's certainly a challenge in that regard.
Yeah, it's part of the fun in a way. I mean, assuming everything doesn't go to shit and you just have a couple bumps in the road, it's kind of fun to figure things out. I'm kind of a troubleshooter and like a problem solver. And so I get a kick out of doing that stuff. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with you guys the last couple shows that we did. And even though there was some minor hiccups, it was still a blast.
Yeah, no, it was fun for sure, because there's no shows to go to. There's no movies to go to. There's no nothing to go to. So this was something that was breaking up the monotony of it. What do you miss most about life before the day where you woke up, let's say on the 12th of March, because, mm-hmm. The 10th of March. Mm-hmm. So the 10th of March, you still have a job. You're still going to work. You lose your job on the 11th. What was the next day like on the 12th of March?
Honestly, there was a bit of shock there. Like, there was so much coming at me, and I know coming at a lot of people all at once, not just me, and so I don't want to sound egocentric, but after I got laid off, it felt like everything just kind of collapsed. We got a press conference from Mayor Garcetti the very next day, and Gavin Newsom basically saying, hey guys, we're going to have to, close up shop and businesses are going to be limited. But I was in shock for about a week. Number one, like, mourning the loss of my job, which, to be honest, that by the end there, I was already kind of looking to get out, but it was still a major shock. And so the combination of everything collapsing with the pandemic and then the loss of my job, for the first week, I was completely in shock. Then, eventually you establish a new routine, and so now I'm freelancing, doing social media for a few businesses. I still work out like I was before, but I do miss bowling and I miss having a very dynamic lifestyle. Like most people, everybody has different facets of their life that they look forward to. There's parts of my job that I miss. I miss, hanging out with my friends and going wherever. Bars, hikes, shows. I miss shows so much. And I was super, super sad when it came out that PRB had to cancel until next year. And I was just like, man, I was so looking forward to it. And as we get closer, I get sadder and sadder. But I get it. I understand what's happening. I understand that it's necessary.
I was so excited with the lineup of Punk Rock Bowling this year, because a lot of the bands that I really have been wanting to play for a long time were on the bill. Several. And just the fact that they're not playing, it's not happening, no one's playing, is really just, it just takes the wind out of everything, or takes the excitement out of everything, because we were only 4 more weeks, only 40 more days, 30 more days, and now we're looking at over a year before they'll actually catch up. From it'll be instead of 21 in the year 2020, it'll be 21 in the year 2021. So it'll finally catch up to itself. But it was such a bummer. You know, I know all the work that goes into it, and then I don't know all the work that goes into it, and it, to make all those calls back and have to reschedule everyone, or just to start the ball rolling again. I mean, who knows? Do you remember what the last show is that you went to?
Oh, man. What was the last show that I went to? You know, right now, I can't remember. Actually, I think it was just the punk rock karaoke at Corbin. Was the last show where we all got to sing a little bit. And Let Rage played, and it was a good time. And, you know, that couldn't have been, honestly, a better way. Like, without knowing that you're going into a pandemic, was, like, the best last hoorah show for us. Because we were all together. We were all having a fantastic time. I'm so glad that that was the show that we ended on.
It would have been nice to know that maybe it was the last one, and we could have maybe planned better. Maybe other people would have attended. You go to a lot of shows. I go to a lot of shows. I never take that for granted. Like, I always will go, even if I don't want to go, because you never know if, one, the band's going to break up, someone from the band passes away, or they just don't play anymore, or whatever the reason may be. So I always try to go to as many as I can because I want to see this band. When I started to buy records when I was in high school, my friend said to me, whenever you see a record, buy it, because you never know if you're ever going to see that record again. And so I use that sort of thought process with shows. Unless you have five in one night where you can't make your decision.
Which is so your MO, and I love that. And it's funny because I kind of had the opposite mentality. I got to a point where I was taking shows for granted. And I didn't even really realize it until the pandemic went down. So, you know, I like to have a nice balance in my life. For me, it's like, you know what? Maybe I'll go to a show during the week, but it's really hard for me because of my job. And then on the weekends, sure, would totally go to shows. It wasn't until, like, all this hit that I realized, like, oh my gosh, like, how much I miss going out. And I totally thought, man, I'm a homebody for sure. Like, you know, I don't need to go out all the time. Now I'm like, as soon as this lets up, I'm going out all the time. And I'm never going to take shows or any kind of performance that I go to for granted ever again, ever. Like, it's so crazy how much perspective the pandemic has brought me, and I'm sure so many others. And I'm glad that bands and artists have gotten so innovative, and they're using Zoom, and they're using Instagram, and a bunch of different cool applications that I've never heard of to, you know, still be creative and put their music out there or their art. And at least we have that. So I'm grateful for that, too.
It goes back to, reminds me a lot of when I had my store and I had shows in there. I started to have shows once a week. Then it was twice a week. Then it was three times a week, and maybe five nights a week. Because bands always needed a place to play. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I want to see them. So I'm not going to drive to the show, but I'll have the show drive to me. And that was great. But the attendance eventually in the small town where I was fell off to where it was really very difficult to get people out, because they would rather make the choice to stay home and play video games, or at that time, I think, would be on MySpace or whatever it was back then.
And what city was that?
This is in Western Mass.
Okay.
Far Western Mass. You know, there's like not a lot of people there. But the distance from there to Boston or there to New York was like kind of Riverside to LA, like a couple hours. And not even a couple of cool hours. It was a couple hours of nothing, really, in between. So once I shut the store down, then all of a sudden people were, I had one last show and it was packed. And I'm like, where the hell have you been? You know, and so I had great bands that came through, like Off of Their Heads, Star Fucking Hipsters, and Screaming Females, and the Menzingers, Anti-Scene, Stigma. I had a lot of great bands play that little tiny room, and people still can't believe it, but I'm like, it happened. And now the fact that there's no shows to go to, it feels very reminiscent of that in a way, but it's also, it gets to you mentally. You have no, I like staying home too when it's a choice. Not when I have to stay home and the excitement is waiting in line at Rouse to, yeah, to get in the store.
I think you hit the nail on the head. When you have the choice of staying home, it's so different than being told you have to stay home. And it also, speaking of smaller towns and things like that, that's another thing that I realize is that, you know, places like Western Massachusetts, those people, I don't know, I'm sure they're definitely affected by the pandemic, but not in the same way that someone in Los Angeles is. We are overstimulated here. We have access to all the good food, all the good entertainment, anything that you want, you can get here, the right amount of money. But in a place like Western Massachusetts, like, you know, staying home Friday through Sunday is a normal deal, you know? So I think first, depending on where you live, the pandemic is affecting everyone, you know, differently, and it looks different to everyone.
Well, because real estate is expensive here, and therefore commercial rent is expensive here, when you find out the store that you loved or the restaurant you loved or the club that you loved in March is no longer that way. Well, this is now, what month is it? April? Yeah, April. I don't even know the
only
day.
Only for a few days, yeah. Actually.
I don't know. I don't even know the day. I have to
look. It's May 1st on Friday.
Oh, my God. So now we're going into May, and a lot of those stores won't make it. And it's not because they don't want to be there. It's because they can't. The confusing thing about it is when you're told, and you as a collective you, but the state is told that tenants don't have to pay their rent. That's very confusing to me because why? I understand the reasoning behind it, but that just in turn essentially screws someone else over, and then it's not fair. It's too, you can't do it. And so I just fight to pay it because I have to pay it because I don't want to have this hanging over my head, even if I'm told I don't have to pay.
I feel the same way. Even if I could stop paying rent right now, which I'm not going to, but if I could because of this, because there's a moratorium on evictions and whatnot, I still wouldn't because I want to I like working. I'm a workhorse. I totally am. Along with me and some of my other friends. And I also don't want to have to pay all that back. But I realize that not everybody has the means to do that, and that people who are paycheck to paycheck, which I am as well, it's really hard out there for a lot of people. I give it up to the nurses and people working at stores, people working at Amazon, everyone that's really subjecting themselves to possibly getting this virus, and they're on the front lines. And really, it seems like almost like a social class deal too, you know? It's becoming that way. And then you hear about businesses, bigger businesses that have taken advantage of these small business loans. And I really think, and my therapist said something to me the other day, she's like, what people are going through right now, Jen, is what's called abstract trauma. So it's not like a typical trauma situation where you got into a car accident or you lose a limb, or it's a trauma that you can't really put your finger on. It's there and you see it, but you're not really sure what it is. Because, I mean, and not in my lifetime, your lifetime, we haven't seen a pandemic, you know? What was the Spanish flu, like the last one? Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't around then.
Yeah, know. We weren't around. No one was around. So, like, it's a type of trauma that we really just don't understand fully, and we're all just kind of rolling with the punches, so to speak.
It would be easier if rent, lease, everything was frozen, not one side or the other. You can't. It's great that they want to do it for tenants. That's great, but unless you tell the banks and the mortgage companies.
What about the landlords? What about the mortgage?
Right. Then you can't be collecting from these other individuals either. You have to make it fair. Mm-hmm. because otherwise it puts people in a very confusing position. And I don't think that, you know, like I always say that my landlord doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that too, that a lot of landlords are pushing back on this and sending letters to their tenants, and it makes them sound like assholes because they're sending notices out like your rent is still going up and you're still required to pay rent. And it does make them sound like they're shitheads for requiring this, especially right now. However, I can only imagine that, well, they still have to pay a mortgage. They still have to pay back a loan. So it's affecting everyone. And it's not something where you can blame a landlord or blame a tenant at this point. I think there's definitely a larger issue there. And it bottlenecks because you can't just give relief to one side. You're right. It has to be relief across the board. And I think, I mean, they just, I don't know, I think our stupid president just signed some $1 billion stimulus package, and I know that that might help, but everybody's hurting right now.
Right, and what they keep doing, instead of coming up with some sort of solution or path to working again, right? They don't really do that. They kind of just, it's like one or the other. We're going to offer you this money, and I'm like, no, I don't want this money, because eventually, if you're not taking any money in, which is happening, where's this money going to come from after you run out of it?
Right.
And the federal government, yeah, they have a lot of money today. But if this goes through July, are they going to have enough money then? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure. And I know like a lot of us are on unemployment now, and the government's giving us a little bit more money than they usually would for unemployment, but it's not going to last forever, which is why I know me and a lot of other people are trying to maintain some form of routine and trying to work still, because we know that eventually we have to climb out of this and we can't rely on the government to get us through. And what's scary is that we're seeing numbers that are worse than the Depression as far as unemployment rates and people trying to survive. So I feel like, you know what? People that love to work are going to continue to try to find a way to work. And people that don't like to work and that mooch off of the government will continue to do so. Oh. And that's the harsh reality. It's like, you know, you hear about people at home and they're like, I'm going to start taking piano lessons, or which I'm doing, but you know, I'm going to start reading more. And the thing is, you are who you are. The people that are creative, whether in quarantine or not, are going to continue to be creative. The people that like to work will continue to work. The people that like to sit on their ass and watch TV will continue to do that. You know what I mean? It's whatever you're prone to doing, you will continue to do in quarantine. It might look a little different, of course, but like you and me, you and I like to work. We like to work, and we're going to continue to work because that's what we like doing. We like producing, but not everybody's the same and not everybody's on the same playing field. But one thing is for sure is that what's cool is we're not alone. We're all in it together. Even though we're having different experiences, we're all going through it together. So that's the nice part.
When you initially changed one of your jobs, I remember you were doing something related to what you're doing now, and then you stopped, and then you started to work on becoming a trainer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember this because I think it's when I first started to become friends with you. And what was that like? I mean, is that sort of, I guess, sort of uncertainty that you went through at that time similar to what it is like today? Or is it a little different?
It's a little different. I mean, I basically, in a nutshell, at the end of 2016, I had gone through a pretty big weight loss for my size. And I decided I wanted to empower other women. So I got off the show that I was on Wrapped. I was working on a couple different multicam shows, one of them being Revenge Body with Kim Kardashian. So that was a fun treat to work on as an assistant editor. But once that show wrapped, my friend Kat and I, you know, Kat, we went to Thailand for 2 weeks, and then I got back. I had just passed my personal training certification, so I got certified through NASM, and in January, I started personal training. I worked at two gyms, I had private clients, and I was doing trainings online, too. So I was kind of doing it all, and it was really my first time owning my own business, and it was scary. I didn't have any health insurance anymore. It ran out. And about a year into it, I decided, you know what? I can still do this, but I need health insurance and I need a steady paycheck right now because, you know, like most Americans, we all have debt and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I need some extra income. So I went back to work and that was the job that I last had. So from the end of 2017, all through 2018, I personal trained. And then when I started working in marketing again, I was personal training on the side, probably up until 6 months ago. And now I'm not really personal training anymore. And now I just kind of, I'm just kind of a workout fitness enthusiast. And I offered my advice to people who want it. And that's the deal with that.
Yeah, it's really great to see those clips on Instagram as I'm eating a donut. You just sit there doing some like power lifting or whatever the hell it is that you do. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, that's the cool part about doing that is that you can eat a donut and you can work out. And I try to put it out there that there is a balance to be had. It's not an all or nothing thing. In fact, I think I just posted that today. But what's funny is that since the pandemic and everything's online, you see all these personal trainers working out and posting like videos. And I was doing that before all this went down. In fact, I've been using Zoom, you know, this video conferencing app. I've been using it since 2016 because I was talking to women coaches across the country and we're all trying to figure out how to market ourselves online. And so it's so crazy to see everyone kind of doing that now. So it's been interesting. I felt like I was ahead of the curve a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you were for sure because there weren't a lot of people doing fitness clips on Instagram or little workout. I mean, there were some mm-hmm. every now and then that I would see. Not that I followed a lot of them because, you know, as an asthmatic and as someone who likes to eat a lot of stuff, pastry, you know.
It's tough.
It's tough. And living in L.A., it isn't easy because there's a lot of food here. Well, there was. I mean, there was a lot of food here to eat. And one of my favorite places to go, even though the parking sucked, was very close to you in your neighborhood, Crimsey's Cajun vegan restaurant.
Crimsey's.
But yeah, they've closed. They've closed.
Are they done?
No, they're not done, but they're closed, and they don't know when they're going
to
come back.
I feel like they should just do beignets and coffee to go in the morning. I feel like maybe I should throw that out as a suggestion because the to go thing is great, and it's keeping the businesses that are doing it afloat. It really is. And I know that to be true because I'm working in that industry right now, helping the Mermaid with their social media and posting their to-go orders. And it really is helping. If the businesses that continue to hustle and come up with menus for to-go on Grubhub or DoorDash, those businesses I'm hoping will survive and are going to come out of this. And it's sad that when this lets up, there's going to be businesses that are going to close. And that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, because I love a lot of the businesses that I can't go to. And it's not that I ever took them for granted. I don't tend to buy a lot of things, even though I own a lot of things. I try not to buy a lot of things. But I still like to go and support these places, whether it's an author signing or something like that. I'll buy the book and read it, even though I have a stack of books I need to read. But I have the time. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's really just, it goes back to the fact that they need to be able to have everything frozen for them, their landlords, and every bill that's owed in their life. It has to be across the board freeze because otherwise they'll never recover. And I would like to think on the first day that we're allowed like we're 5 years old. The first day we're able to go to the bowling alley will be the best day ever. I mean, we'll all
it
bowl.
Really will. I'm going to bowl all night. I'm going to bowl past league, take a break, and then I'm going to continue to bowl all night. I don't even care.
Yeah, I'll just be like, you guys aren't closing. I'm bowling 20 games because, you know, we got to get back to our averages. And it puts everyone back. And then the first show will be amazing, I would think. Like, I don't think people will take anything that they can't do now for granted again, I would hope. Because that would be really unfortunate. I would like to see every show packed. But what will that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Will there be X's on the floor 6 feet from each other that you can stand
X's here? To mosh pit. Can you imagine? There's like, well, X's in a circle that are 6 feet apart.
It's hopscotch. You got to jump one to the other.
Yeah.
We probably won't see the sweaty shirtless guy at the show, which will be nice.
You know what? That's totally fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with this too.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this too. I don't really have a problem with that.
Right.
Anytime that guy doesn't show up is always a welcome relief.
Right.
For me, at least. What do you plan on doing the first day that, you know, maybe you'll be like, I'm not going to work today? Are you going to go to the beach? Are you going to go for a hike somewhere? Are you going to go to a museum? What are you looking forward to?
I mean, it depends on what's open. Are we assuming everything's open again with certain restrictions? Or are you talking about, like, May 15th? Are you talking, which I don't even know if anything's going to effing happen on May 15th, but
I don't know what day, but yeah. I'm just saying that a day. Like, today, everything's closed. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., everything will be open again. And personally, for me, I just will go to a store I wasn't able to go to and go walk in and sit down somewhere and eat instead of taking it home.
I'll probably stay out all day and all night, and I'll have to have someone feed my cat because I'm just not going to be home. I'm going to go to a restaurant in the morning, and then I'm going to drive to the beach, then I'm going to be exhausted, and then I'm going to go bowling, and then I'm going to bowl all night is pretty much what's going to happen. I mean, honestly, like that would be my plan. I can't wait. I cannot wait. And now that, you know, I do have a little bit more freedom because I don't have a typical 9-to-5, it'll be a little bit easier. And that's another thing, too, is that through this pandemic, I know that a lot of people are considering career transitions or maybe trying a different role because now they have the opportunity to take that time to look for work. And I'm doing the same. So hopefully I can expand what I'm doing and with social media for a bunch of different businesses and keep on that train. And that'll give me the flexibility to go out a little bit more.
I've always known you to be a friend of mine that I spoke with. I would consider to be a hustler. I think you're a hustler too. I think it comes from the sort of industry that you're working in that you have to be a hustler because you never know. Your job is only good for the length of the job. Eventually, the show will be off the air, and then everyone doesn't stay together. They move on to something else. How has that sort of experience in general helped you? I think it's maybe easier in a way to handle this a little bit.
I think you're probably right in the fact that, like, when you're just used to hustling, you're always in survival mode, right? And you know, sometimes I wish that I was more in thrive mode than survive mode, and I'm getting there. And hopefully one day I can say, I'm a hustler that's thriving instead of just a hustler that's surviving. But for now, and the way it's always been, is that I've always been a hustler since I was 17. My dad told me, oh, you, because I told him I want a car, Dad. You know, I need to drive. Nobody walks in LA, you know, as they say. And he's like, get a job, Jen. So I bagged groceries for 3 years. I socked away a few grand and I got my first car. And I've been hustling ever since then through college, internships and part-time jobs and then to news and now into entertainment. And it's never changed. It's always been that way. It's been a crazy ride for sure. But I am thankful that I have that mentality right now, especially going through this, because it just further reinforces my drive and there are times, some days are harder than others, and I know other people are going through this too, where you wake up and you're like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm ready for this day. I'm going to take on this day. And it's productive and it's awesome. And then there's some days where you're like, you get into a fight with a friend or a partner. Maybe the freaking power goes out. There's an earthquake in the middle of the night. You're fucking tired. You don't want to do anything. And then you waste half the day watching Netflix or something, you know? And I feel like right now, it's about going with the flow and trying to just deal and cope and give yourself the grace to fuck up. Give yourself the grace to say, you know what? It's okay if I feel shitty today. Instead of being like, no, I have to hustle 24/7. And I tell this to myself all the time because I'm one of those people where, and I know you feel this way too, you feel guilty when you're not moving. You feel guilty when you're not being productive. And I think if anything, this pandemic is forcing people, and especially in LA where there's a ton of hustlers, to take a break and take a minute. Because just before all this was going down, you heard nothing but, man, I'm so busy, I just want a vacation. Well, here's your vacation.
Well,
and whether you like it or not, whether it's, I mean, maybe it's not the typical vacation.
Yeah, it's not the shores of North Hollywood.
It's not your typical vacation, but for a lot of us, this is a pause and a break. And, you know, there's a lot of people, too, that are still working in the entertainment industry. I know that I have a few friends at NBC that have told me they're completely online now. Their IT people are working from home. Their editors are working from home. So there are people that are still working, and I envy them because they have that sort of normalcy still. They still have that routine. And so the pandemic looks different for them. You know, like I said, it looks different for everyone. So, yeah, I'm glad that I'm still a hustler.
I mean, I'm glad and very thankful that I have very limited bills. And I haven't, not necessarily overextended myself, but when there was an overabundance of work, money was great. And I think that had I done things differently, I might have been in a situation that I would not be able to function in right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'm sure you're thankful.
I'm very thankful.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful. What are the plans for the rest of this year of... just assuming that we get back on track, because at this rate, 2020 was like a year that didn't, it was like an asterisk year. Like it was like, yeah, it started and then it's not happening.
Yeah. 2020, so, not new me.
No, no.
Or new me. It depends on how you look at it. Going forward, like my priority right now is to make a career transition. To keep writing, doing some light editing, but hopefully starting a new career, whether it's freelance or at a full-time job somewhere doing social media for a company, junior copywriting, doing content producing basically would be my ultimate goal. So if I can make that happen by the end of 2020, which I think is realistic, then I'll say that I accomplish something in 2020 other than weight loss, which I've always been able to do. But, you know, that's it.
You've always been able to do weight loss.
Yeah, but that's, but you know,
I'm able to do weight gain.
You know what? Everybody has control of something, you know, it's, you know, everybody hangs on to what they can control. For me, it's always been exercise. It's just ingrained in me at this point. And that's like, that and cleaning are the two things that I can control right now. I can't even control my cat. Who knows where he is?
Oh, he's not under the sink. He went back there.
He was rummaging through things, Stanley. Yeah, but, you know, everybody hangs on to those things they can control. And the job situation is something that I can control up into a certain point. I can hustle as much as I can, and then hopefully I'll get hired somewhere or I'll take on more clients, and that'll be my new normal. If you want to reach out to me for any kind of social media services, you can reach out to me on social media when in Rome. My Instagram is xjen, J-E-N, underscore rock, R-O-C-K-X. You can send me a DM. Right now, I'm working with a couple brick and mortar businesses, but I'm flexible, open to everything, really. And yeah, you just DM me there. That's my personal page. And I've always used my personal page as my business page as well, so that, you know, I'm a reflection of myself. I'm like representing myself in the truest form. And yeah, I hopefully, you know, some people will hit me up. It's been a very nice surprise. I've actually gained a couple of clients since the pandemic began. So I'm grateful for that. Other than that, just DM me and say hi. Or if you like to jam, I play the keyboard and I sing. I'm down to do that on the a cappella app or whatever you want to use.
Do you have an inspirational thought you'd like to share? Do that with your yeah. fitness.
Someone, one of the clients that I work for right now likes to do a quote of the day. And I posted it to my Instagram and I really like it. So let me get to that. It's a good one. And I think it's a quote by Einstein, actually. And it says, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving, which is a great quote. And it could be moving in the physical sense or moving in the motivational sense. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think that as long as we keep moving forward and trying our best, we will come out of this live. Quarantine! Quarantine!